Welcome to the Big Niang Theory.
Let me ask you one question.
This is my podcast.
Joel is a card shark.
Danny gets swindled.
Fashion, I just like stuff that looks good.
Greatness just breeds greatness, and we all fit right in.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Big Niang Theory. Today, our guest, Shake Milton. I was actually super excited to get Shake, you know, on this podcast because he's actually a super cool dude. And, you know, we've had a special bond this year. And he actually was one of the first teammates that I even met when I, you know, first came to the Sixers. And I feel like this episode, I learned more about him than I actually thought that I knew. There's so much diversity, you know, to Shake and the things that he likes to do and how he handles his life. And I'm super excited to share this episode because I feel like everybody's going to learn more about Shake, and he's such a fascinating person and such a good person. I feel like that's the best part.
Shake is a little bit of an international man of mystery, and it was really cool to unlock some of that today. And he's also sort of universally beloved, and I think that that's something that, upon listening to this conversation, I think people are going to understand why. And that's all I'll say. So without further ado, here's Shake Milton.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Big Niang Theory. Today, we have a special guest who I'm hoping you guys get to know a lot more about. The one, the only, Shake Milton. Shake and Bake the Microwave.
Yes, sir. My guy G, what's up?
Welcome on. Lauren is also here. She's present.
Thank you for making my presence known.
Hey, I just want to let the people know. But Shake, before we dive in, getting to know you, how have you enjoyed this season? I know it's kind of been a roller coaster for you with, you know, injuries, you know, new roles, roster turnover. How has it been for you personally, and what do you look forward to, you know, with the end of the season coming up?
Yeah, bro. Overall, I say it's been smooth. Like, it's definitely had some rough patches, some like being up and down, being like hurt, and then, you know, catching COVID and being away from the team. That was tough too. Yeah. But nah, man, just I've been kind of just learning to roll with the punches and just have a little like giving into life a little bit, you know, just kind of come, you know, taking what comes and rolling with it, man. So it's been great. And just my attitude towards everything coming up is in a good light too, so I'm smooth.
Yeah, no, it's funny that you say like your attitude stays the same, because when I first met you when we were in Vegas, you know, they're all like, oh yeah, come out to Vegas, you know, meet the summer league guys, like we'll have a couple of our guys there. Shake was the only one there, and we ended up going through a workout, and I remember asking Shake, I'm like, yo, like, are the fans like really that crazy? He's like, bro, I'm gonna give it to you like this. Just keep looking forward. He was like, don't get too high. Don't get too low. Man. Just keep looking forward. And like, when you say that, like, obviously when someone says that, you're almost to the point where you're like, all right, give me the real. But as I watch like how our season, your season pans out, like you literally, that injury you had, or you had COVID first, right?
COVID
first. Yeah, you had COVID first. And then you had the injury with
You had a training camp issue too, injury wise.
Yeah, it was the ankle. Like
right. Dang, Lauren, stop putting out his injury.
No, I'm just kidding.
Guys, I'm more.
Shake's healthy.
I'm more trying to say that you've overcome a lot. Like, it wasn't just COVID and then the back. It started in training camp, which we've seen in years past. Matisse last year, you're always going to be at a disadvantage if you can't participate in training camp. That's really hard.
No.
Yeah, and then you know you just. Like you told me, you just kept your head down. I mean, I don't think people understand like how serious the whole back issue. Like when I was watching Shake like workout, it was like almost like he was like aching, going like. So I'm slow, but when I see someone doing moves slower than me, I'm like, something really must be wrong.
Man, it was just like, it was just slow motion. Like that whole period was really slow motion for me. I had to like really just sit down and be like, man, you know what, like. It's out of my hands. Like, I got to just heal, get healthy, and then, you know what I mean, make plays. Because you know us as, like, athletes, we just want to, like, go. Yeah. Like, just continue to be on the court crazy and getting better, whatnot, but like
I have that same problem at the dinner table. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But sometimes life just tells you to sit down for a second.
So yeah,
that's what it was.
You know, speaking of life moving slow, hopefully you don't get too offended by this, but you're from Oklahoma, right?
Yes, sir.
I can't imagine life being too fast in Oklahoma. How was, talk about like your journey, the transition from Oklahoma to SMU, mm-hmm. then to Philadelphia. What adjustments, what did you think your future was going to be? And then what has it ended up being?
Yeah, man. I mean, shoot, in Oklahoma, like high school, I was just trying to get in like a good college and pick a good college to where like I knew I would be able to come and contribute, do my thing a little bit. Like I wanted to be an NBA player and that was on my mind, but like that wasn't like, it wasn't like the end all be all. Like I wasn't gonna like, you know what I mean? So for me, that's what it was. And I knew going to SMU would give me a little bit of a shot because we had Larry Brown there as the coach. And, you know, I was seeing what he was able to do in Dallas. So I went there. And, you know, my first couple years, I you know, I mean, did pretty decent. Second year, we won like a conference championship. And I saw, you know, a couple of my teammates went pro. And I was like, oh, like, I'm actually.
That could be me.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I'm closer than what I really think I am. Yeah. So, and then after that, I just really locked into it and ended up making a jump, man. And luckily, you know, it kind of panned out.
Yeah, and you know what? You're blessed because, you know, you are in the same place that, you know, you started. You know, not too many people in their NBA career get to stick around for their whole, you know, most of their NBA career in one place. Not saying that you're going to be here forever, but wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Hey. but you know, there's a chance that there's a chance that you are, and there's a chance that you aren't. But
facts.
The fact that, you know, you've developed and grown here, and, you know, like I've told you before, you've had big games and big moments and like really established yourself as, you know, an NBA player here. I think that, you know, there's an important piece of that because, you know, I've had to jump ship in different places and you know how emotional I am. Like any team that I've left, I've been like, yeah, forget them. Like, I hope they lose. So, you know, the fact that you've been able to grow here.
I got a question for you, bro. What do you think is like the biggest thing for you, like with dealing with all those different like variabilities? You know what I mean? Like you never really know what's being thrown at you and what's coming your way. So how do you, you know what I mean? Stay locked in.
Yeah. No, I think the biggest thing for me though is easy as it's said, you know, you want to take the emotion out of it, but obviously I'm an emotional person, but you really just have to go into it and keep it or take it as like surface level. Like, you know, I'm here to do my job. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously you're allowed to fall in love with the city, fall in love with the people that you're around, but also realizing that it's a part of heartbreak is also like a part of the journey.
Part of it.
And just because you have your heart broken one time, you know, it doesn't mean that you're not, you shouldn't get up and try to love the next, you know, experience that you've been in. How do you feel about that?
I feel good about it.
Lauren, you're giving me this look like George is just giving the people a bunch of BS.
No, you're not. I was actually going to make another connection. You guys were drafted in around the same range, right? And then
we were in the same draft?
No. Not
2016? You're 2017?
2018. That's crazy.
Yo, my guy.
You're trying to add years to me.
Are you calling me old right now?
Yeah. Late second round, and you've both had to fight your way into NBA rotations. Right?
What number were you?
54.
I was 50.
Yeah.
Those 50s, they get dangerous.
They get tricky.
There's some gems, like Paul Reed was 58.
P. Reed.
But you guys know that a lot of people that get drafted in the 50s are no longer in the league, right? So you guys share in common figuring out a way to make it happen.
Different breed.
How so?
Me and Shake are just different breeds.
Just different, yeah.
You know, like Shake said, I'm going to keep my head down, looking straight, keep doing it. No, I'll definitely give you credit. There is like not a day that where there's an off day or, you know, a blackout day that, you know, I may sneak in that Shake's not in there. You know, working on that, you know, lefty drive or that step back mid-range that we saw against the Miami Heat time after time. So I just think from me seeing how you work, you know, obviously you're just a diligent worker. And I think from how I look at it is like you never take no for an answer. You know, you're just never going to quit. At the end of the day, some you were kicking down someone's door and be like, right. I'm here to stay.
I mean, shoot, that's part of it, right? That's probably why we stuck around. You know, I mean, as long as we have, I'll pull up to the gym at nighttime, you know what I mean? Thinking I'm, you know, getting one over on some folks, you know what I mean? Getting some work in, and I'll see G in there working with his man. I'm like, yo, dang, like, I got to show up earlier. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I got to get there earlier. So, I guess it's just part of the process, man.
One of your friends on this team who also puts in a lot of work is Tyrese. And I've really enjoyed watching you and Tyrese bond. And I think that there's a misconception a little bit that last season, when you think about playoffs, you guys were sort of like in competition for minutes. You weren't sort of in competition for minutes. You were.
Mm.
And I think externally that sort of looks like you guys might be pitted against each other. But then behind the curtain, you guys are good friends. You're challenging each other. That's continued this season.
Yeah.
But you're also sort of his vet. So can you give us a little bit more insight into what your relationship is like with Tyrese and what it's been like to watch him this year?
Man, that's my bro. That's my dog, man. That's like, I've just seen him grow. He was supposed to come mess with me with SMU. I'm still, you know, I still get at him about that.
He snaked you?
Yeah, he did. He did on the low.
He
did on the low, but it's all good, yo. But just seeing him blossom into what he is, like, he's a star. Like, just the work that he puts in and the way he comes out and performs each and every night has been crazy. And we always, like, bouncing ideas off each other, you know what I mean? Always speaking to each other just because we see the game kind of similarly, and we kind of go through the same things, especially dealing with, you know what I mean, coaches and, you know, like, just the whole experience of being an NBA player.
And for those who don't know, his dad coached you briefly, correct?
His dad was a part of the coaching staff at SMU for a year. Mm-hmm. So that was fun too. I thought we were gonna get him.
Dang, and Tyrese still didn't go to SMU.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Where's that kid's loyalty?
Kid is different, yo. Kid is different.
But you know, like, speaking on to like competing, you know, 4 minutes. I think, you know, on this team for, you know, the time that I've been here, even though we're like competing for minutes with each other, like, I feel like we all have a genuine happiness for the other person. Like, if we're not playing and they're playing well, like, there's a genuine happiness, and that I can promise you is not happening everywhere. That's for sure. Where, you know, I mean, at the beginning of the year, you know, Tyrese was starting, then you were starting, yeah. Then, you know, you had your ankle injury, and it's just like, no matter what has happened, everybody seems to be genuinely happy for another person, and I think that's important. And, you know, I feel like someone like Tobias, even though, you know, we joke around with him, he gets the good vibrations.
The vibrations,
vibes,
yeah.
Going.
Yeah,
and that kind of, like, keeps everybody on the same wave. And then now Tyrese is just, like, his, like, you know, you play, like, telephone. Now Tyrese is walking around, like,
yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. It kind of goes all around the team, man, and you know, nobody wants to be like the person where the team wins and then, you know, you're sitting there salty. And I'll say, like, we don't have that type of person on this team at all. So it's always fun just being around the guys and seeing dudes succeed at what they do.
Now, Shake, we're hearing a lot about the basketball Shake.
Oh,
what
shoot.
Does Shake like to do in his free time? What are some hobbies? You know what I mean?
Just to put a little bit more color behind this question, George and I were talking about what we were going to talk to you about. What?
No, go ahead.
George and I were talking about what we were going to talk to you about. And I said to him, and this is maybe an indictment on me and the work that I've done with you, but we've been together for almost 4 years. And I don't know a ton about you.
Yeah.
I know I enjoy you a lot. And I think we have like a good dynamic for sure. But you are a quieter guy. You're a little bit more reserved. And I think people don't know a ton about you. So it's a really good question because people want to know.
Is that like my demeanor? Is that what it comes from? I could see that. I'll be chilling.
No, because I mean, everybody just has that vibe. Like a different vibe. So I'm like, my vibe when I come into a room, like, you're going to feel my presence.
I'm here.
You know what I mean? Like, they're like, sad. Yeah. But there's other people that, you know, walk in and kind of like scout the room and see where the energy's at before they decide to like dive in for whatever reason. But you are like, how do I put this in the right? Like the coolest kid out. Like, you're chill. You have your confidence about you, but you're not going to outwardly like put it out there. But if someone were to come up to you and have a conversation, they could chop it up for you and be like, oh man, like that dude is super cool. But for the people that have never had a conversation with you, they're like, oh, well, I don't really know. Cause you know, Lauren's afraid to get out of her comfort zone and probably ask you like vulnerable questions. That's probably why she doesn't have.
That's why great people are going to love this episode, though. Yeah, because
so give us the details, man.
Let's, people come up to me and be like, oh, man, Shake, you're so cool and you're nice. Like, I thought you were going to be like a jerk. I thought you were going to be this. I was like, yo, like, that's yo, crazy.
Quick story. So my mom, when I first got here, was staying at my place and she was like going over the roster and she was like, who is Malik? And I was like, Mom, we don't have someone named Malik on our team. She was like, well, it says his name's Malik here, but do you guys call him like Shake? And my mom was like, or I was like, yeah, you know, we call him Shake. And I was like, I would never want to call him Malik. I'd be concerned on what he'd say. So until I heard someone call you that, yeah. Like in my head, I was always like, has someone ever been like Malik? And Shake just turns and snaps.
So weirdly enough, the Malik to Shake story about your dad, which you can tell if you want, but that's like the only thing people do know about you.
Yeah,
it's like
honestly.
You watch, especially if you watch a national TV broadcast, you can guarantee that you're going to get the story
behind.
You're
going to get the story, right? Yeah.
And so maybe we should just skip it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't tell that story.
Tell us other things.
Yeah. Okay.
It's cool, though, that you have a cool nickname.
You're just going to, like, open that out there? Just, like, tell us other things?
Well, because people already know the story.
You know what I mean? Like, what do you want to know? I mean, I don't know. I be chilling. I do yoga. I'm always interested in learning. Like, on YouTube, like, self-betterment stuff. I collect shoes. That's probably, like, my guilty habit. Yo. Like, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't spend a lot of money doing crazy stuff or doing like buying like material things, but shoes, I gotta have the shoes.
True or false, you and Tobias have the same shoe size?
Oh, yeah, thankfully.
And sometimes
Tobias, holla at me, boy. Holla at me, man.
Wait, do you
for
guys
real
really have the same shoe size?
Yeah,
you're 15
14 15 yeah.
And Tobias has been known to sometimes.
I know he'll bless the kid. He'll bless the kid with some Kobe's, man.
Oh, I know.
But nah, yeah, Tobias will definitely drop some Kobe, some unreleased, like, different colorways that it never even seen on the market. So
it's also interesting that you mentioned yoga, because you're not the only guy on this team that enjoys it. So how did you find yoga? Do you guys ever talk about your yoga bonds?
I mean, shoot, probably with Matisse. I feel like Matisse he's out there. He, you know what I mean? That's the cool thing about Matisse, too. Like, I can always come to him about some, like, outside idea that I have and like just bounce it off of him and see how, you know what I mean, see
where other
reacts.
People would be like, yo, what are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Like, I was thinking about that yesterday.
Too, yeah. Yeah, like, yeah. So that's cool, but yeah, that's just something to keep the mind body right, you know what I mean?
Health, how'd you find
health
yoga?
Is wealth. How did I find it? I feel like it was off and on, like college and stuff like that, and then even pro used to, like, I mean, at the Sixers they used to have somebody come in and teach yoga a little bit, and eventually you just learn more about it, and then once you start to experience the benefits for yourself, it's just like, well, you know what I mean, I'm gonna pick it up and start doing it. So but yeah,
you've told me about meditation too, which is something that multiple guys on this team share.
Yeah.
So can you tell me more about how you found meditation and who you share that with?
Meditation.
Yo, can I ask you this about meditation?
What's up?
Like, how, when you meditate, like, do you do it for a certain period of time and set your timer? Because I've tried, like, meditation. You know, you turn on, like, the music that, like, you hear and, like, you know, when you're getting a massage at, like, professional places. And I cannot seem to stay awake. Like, I'll put it on and then I'll be asleep for 2 hours.
I used to do it like that, like crazy, but now I try to just make it like the way I live, you know? Like, if I really feel like I need to sit down and take my time, like in a dark room and close my eyes, and I'll do it. But like, otherwise, man, I just try to make it the way I live. And it's not even about controlling your thoughts or whatever. It's just, I mean, kind of letting them see them and not holding any attachment to them. You know what I mean? Just letting them come and then letting them go, and then being present.
Yeah,
being present for real. But I would say, like, things that I'm into, I'm trying to just be more creative, tap into more of my creative side, whether that be like drawing or designing or coming up with ideas that I could tangibly see myself, you know what I mean, putting into existence. So
do you like freelance, like draw or like design stuff on like computer at home?
Yeah, at home. Like, I'll try to like mess with some sneakers or clothes or, you know what I mean, something like that.
Oh, so you have like a super like creative mind then, because if someone put like a piece of paper in front of me and was like, draw something that comes to mind, I would just like start drawing like triangles and squares. Just start messing around. You know what I mean? Yeah. My name and like bubble letters. Yeah, and stuff bubble like letters. That. So like when you're at home, like do you have like your own artwork like hanging up, or is it just like more like shoes that you're trying to design or putting designs on like objects?
It's just more like sketchwork and like shoes. I haven't hung anything myself. I am a big fan of art though. Like I'm constantly searching for like pieces, and it's not even like crazy expensive pieces or pieces by known people. It's just like if it catches my eye and like I kind of can get inspired from it or like see it like connect with myself, then you know, I mean, I'll grab it and try to hang it in my house. But
you should try to get the Mona Lisa in your house.
Mona Lisa, yeah, get in there.
You know, I heard it's on sale.
Yeah,
for why real. Is everybody looking at me like that? Like I thought that was a funny joke.
I'm rocking with it.
Shifting gears, Shake, something that we've done a few times on this show is we've talked about what y'all's impressions of George were before George got here. You played against George a few times.
Yeah.
Before he became your teammate.
Yeah.
So how did your expectations of George, because he already did this for you, how did your expectations of George meet up to your reality of George?
I don't know. I didn't really have like too many expectations. Like I just remember, you know, George, like just from the outside, like I knew he was coming, shoot threes, and he would start chirping a little bit. You know what I mean? Letting dudes have it. And
yes, me.
Honestly, he came here and he was much of the same, letting threes go and then, you know, chirping at dudes and getting after guys. And then just his energy overall with the team, too, is just, it's crazy. He's definitely the type of person you want to play with on it. Like, you know what I mean? You want him on your side because he's gonna ride for you. And then he's also going to, you know what I mean, knock down threes and make an impact.
Furkan and Matisse, when they came on the show, they both said that George brought his attitude, what you're talking about, with whether it's the chirping or just the vibes that he brings, the way that he comes into a room and you know he's there, mm-hmm. brought something new to this team. Because a lot of you guys are a little bit more demure, a little bit quieter. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about the way that this year's team has rounded out? What's George's role in all that?
Shoot. I mean, I think it's just that. I think he's like the glue. Like if George is not coming in, being loud, like giving off energy, then you know, we're going to come to him and be like, yo, G, what's up? Like, we need you to get your stuff going, get right, and, you know, help us out. And, I mean, he's cool about it because if we were slacking, he would do the same to us. And that's what kind of makes the whole team work and move in the right direction.
I appreciate you giving me that title. I'm like the straw that stirs the drink. You know what I mean?
The glue.
You also have, we talked about your friendship with Tyrese, but I know you have a special bond with Furkan and Matisse as well. You guys have a little trio.
Yeah, they're like the three musketeers.
That's crazy.
You guys are like, you look at you three and you guys are like two totally different people. Like even Furkan said it, like Matisse dresses like a yoga teacher, you know. Furkan has his like Euro style, Euro like
swag.
Like tight jeans and, you know, those boots that he wears where he likes to, you know, represent the state police.
The hair.
And then,
the
you know,
hair.
You have Swaggy Shake that probably has every pair of Nike Dunks or nice, you know, clothing. And they all just seem to be connected with what similarities, I don't know, but they are... You guys are the three musketeers for
honestly,
sure.
Honestly, it's crazy too. We'll be on the plane and Tisa look back there and he'll just come out with one of his wild, like super wild ideas and talk to Ferg and I'm just chirping in like, and then all of a sudden we're talking about like the most outlandish things. And like, I don't know, those guys are, they funny. They keep me on my toes and it's definitely like a good energy because we're like kind of the same age, same, just the same, like, you know what I mean? When it comes to the team aspect. So it's definitely cool.
Can we get an example?
Oh, shoot. I don't even know yet.
Ferk always has something funny to say, and he's always, like, sneak dissing. Like, he, the other day, we were in the training room, and he was, like, we were talking about, like, bodies or whatever, and he was like, George, you must be Turkish. And I'm like, why? He's like, because you have belly like Turkish. Like, and I'm like, did you just call me fat?
Yeah,
he's like, no, I have belly too. But, you know, like,
belly too, yeah.
And I'm like, oh my god, this dude is hilarious. But
for picking up all these like little American like one liners or like, you know what I mean, that he gets from like KJ or Lump or Bub or any of them.
You can speak to that though, because 4 or 5 years ago he didn't have this, like, you guys talk about having your bag on the court. It's like Firk has gathered a bag of English sayings, and he really struggled at the beginning, and he's been open about that with us when he came on the show. But what's it been like for you to watch his progression into this, like, very funny English speaker?
Yeah, he says, like, he didn't really speak too much English when he first got over here, but to see him grow now, Firk's just a, Firk's just a cool dude. Like, he's never too high, never too low, always joking, always, you know what I mean, in a good mood, smiling, happy, so... Firk's easy to be around, like a cool dude for real.
The last teammate I wanted to ask you about is Joel, because you've also shared your entire career with Joel.
Yeah.
And he's changed a lot, and you've changed a lot.
Yeah.
So can you take us through the progression of getting to where you guys are now?
It's definitely been crazy, and it's been crazy to see Joe grow, like, just from when I first got here, and, you know, his game, how he was, and now he's just, he's just involved into, like, this leader, like, to a real leader of the team, where he's bringing guys in, and his game is just elevated, and it's elevating the game of others too. And it's, he's just been essential to the growth of, I guess, this whole, like, organization, honestly.
He's the process.
Yeah, right? Like,
he is the process.
It's him.
Speaking of the process, towards the end of the show, we look inward. And I'm curious, George usually teased this off, but I guess I'll do it. George, go ahead. George looks upset. George usually teases this off. So George,
can you believe that, Shake? It's called the Big Niang Theory. It's not called the Rosen.
She calling for an ISO right
That's
now.
That's what I mean.
She calling for it.
Right? Thumb up triple. No, yeah, this isn't your time.
We're not doing that, yeah. We're not doing that. Swing the rock.
Yeah, exactly. Pass it and go to the corner. So anyway, Shake, in a final segment, we ask, you know, our guest, you know, if you had advice for a younger you, a younger Shake Milton, what advice would you give your younger you?
Man, I would just tell myself to, like, stay the course, man. Like, if you have something, like a goal or a dream or something you're working towards, like, just stay the course. It's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be, you know, times where it feels like it's not attainable, or, you know, times where, you know, there's highs and you feel like, oh, yeah, I'm closer than what I thought I was. But just stay the course, man, because you never know what can change. You never know what can happen. And, you know, just be locked in and stay true to what you, who you are and what you do.
I hear you, because, you know, I never thought a chubby kid from Methuen would make it to the NBA. And who knows if you thought a kid from Oklahoma, would be, you know, putting up points in the NBA.
Are there any, when you look back on your journey from Oklahoma to today, formative hurdles that you got over? And do you remember how you got over them?
Shoot. Well, yeah. Like, in high school, like, my dad passed away. And, you know, that was just, it was tough. And I was obviously surrounded by, like, great people family-wise. And I just kind of was blessed into being in the position to go to a situation like SMU. You know what I mean? The people that were around there, I was close to home. My mom could come see me whenever, and I got to play. And, you know, and then got to college, and things went well. I kind of ended up, you know, breaking my hand, and then had to decide, like, yo, am I coming back for another year? Am I going to make the jump? And I was like, yo, it's time. So it's just been kind of been a process, and that's kind of what it always goes back to, is just trusting what you're doing and trusting who you are, and, you know what I mean, just being two toes in, 2 feet in, and living with the rest.
I had the pleasure a couple of years ago of interviewing your mom. It seems like you guys are really close.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit more about your relationship with her and what she means to you, given what you just shared?
No, yeah, she's my rock. Like, she's just everything, like, I would inspire to be, like, you know what I mean? Just an incredible person, incredible woman, who shows a lot of love. Her first game was actually, her first game in Philly was the game two in Atlanta, whenever I was able to, you know what I mean, do my thing. So that was...
That's when you were getting off.
Yeah, getting off. Yeah, that was my mom's first game too. And I remember I played 1 minute, literally 1 minute the game before in game one. And I was like, all down about it, and my mom shows up, and I was like, I don't know, luckily I was able to get things clicking, and
is that the one you mean, like, 5 threes? Yeah, in the second half?
yeah
mom.
I remember watching that before our game in Utah, and I'm like, this dude is going crazy right now.
No, yeah, it was just all in the air, I guess.
When I talked to her, she told the story of watching your 39-point performance, and we're going to turn this around quickly, so I have no problem sharing that we're in LA right now.
Mm.
And a couple years ago when you were in LA,
yeah.
you dropped 39 on then Doc's Clippers,
mm-hmm.
and your mom talked about watching it at home with your sister and calling you afterwards. Yeah. And what do you remember about A, having a performance like that, but B, sharing it with them sort of from afar?
Oh, yeah. It was, I mean, they're always there for me, and that was just kind of like our thing as a family, is just being there. Like, if your little brother has a game, everybody's going. Little sister has a game, everybody's going. So they were blowing up my phone afterwards, you know what I mean? And it was just amazing to have a performance like that. You know how it is, G. You get in there and the rim gets a little big.
Man.
And all of a sudden you forget, like, you're even playing basketball. You forget where you are. You're just, like, there.
You're in the zone.
You're in the zone, for real.
It's something that you can't describe. People just have to.
You can't describe it. Yeah. It's like, yeah, when you're there, you know it, though.
You've been in that zone a lot more than me.
Nah.
I don't find the bottom of the net as much as you do.
That's kind of, But
that's dope.
Mm-hmm.
Shake. I know a lot more about you.
No, I appreciate this. This is dope. This is your thing?
I like podcasting, but the crazy part is we're doing this for, you know, obviously content and stuff like that, but we actually had a real conversation. Like, I actually got, like, I would have never thought, like, you were into, like, designing or had a creative side, you, or even, like, meditation. But now I understand why you're cool, calm, and collective, because you're just, you're in the present, in the now. I think that's so cool.
For sure. No, I appreciate y'all having me.
We appreciate you coming. This is a good episode. Yes. I'm excited to share this one with
you. Come on now.
Can't
and then
wait.
No one can say that they don't know who Shake is in person anymore.
Exactly. Yo, come say what's up. Holla at your boy. Y'all know
it's
the
Shake
vibes.
Shake Milton.
Y'all know the vibes, yo.
Oh, man, that's hilarious.
Shake Milton, thank you so much for coming on the Big Niang Theory.
For sure, for sure. I appreciate y'all.
We're out. We're out.